Hello, and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels, a program that is heard every week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, and on this program each week we study the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time we are in a portion of our study that concerns Jesus' last days with his apostles before the cross. And today we're going to be looking at the events of the Last Supper. Now this is recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. Mark records this in chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. And in Luke's account, this is found in chapter 22, verses 15 through 20. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to primarily refer to Matthew's account, again in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. So let's go there to that text now and read through it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So it is the last week before the cross, and Jesus was about to observe the Passover for the last time with his disciples. The Passover was the annual memorial commemorating the exodus from Egyptian bondage in the days of Moses. This last Passover observance was obviously a moment that would be very special to Jesus. Notice Luke's account in chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Luke said that Jesus fervently desired to observe the Passover with them before his death. Jesus was fully aware that his death was at hand, and he greatly wanted to be with those that he loved so. Jesus was going to use this occasion to institute the future memorial that would be the Lord's Supper. Now let's reflect on these things as we go back through our text again in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Luke's account points out that this was to be done in his memory. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We must not take lightly the importance of the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. In fact, the abuse of the Lord's Supper has very serious consequences. Consider with me 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice the consequences for the church at Corinth for their abuse of the memorial supper. My friends, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. We eat the bread in memory of his body. We drink the cup in memory of his blood. Notice 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Jesus upon the cross. Verse 28 in our text said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The new covenant could not have been established without the death and the resurrection of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16 says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." A testament or will cannot go into effect until after the testator dies. We remember in the supper that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So the Lord's Supper is a memorial, but we also can understand that the Lord's Supper is also a proclamation. We proclaim our faith in the partaking of the supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We truly are making the statement that we believe in the Lord's death and his resurrection, and we believe and have faith that he will come again. We proclaim that he died for our sins when we observe the memorial. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Why would one keep the supper if they did not believe? Jesus instituted the supper for us to observe as believers until he returns for his faithful disciples. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. The Lord's Supper is a proclamation. And the Lord's Supper is a communion. It is a fellowship or sharing in the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" When we partake of the cup, we commune with the blood of Christ, for indeed our life is in the blood of Christ. When we take the bread, we commune with the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." What an incredible thought. The fellowship of the believers through the centuries in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper When we consider all of these things that we've just looked at, it's easy to understand that the Lord's Supper must be taken with great reverence. It is to be done in a worthy manner, as we noted earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. The Lord's Supper should be taken with the realization of His suffering on our behalf, with the realization of how Jesus was tortured and scourged and humiliated. We reflect upon the anguish that He bore by taking on the weight and guilt of the sins of men. Remember those 3 hours on the cross, the only time He has ever been separated from the Father. Matthew 27 and verse 46. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father and God the Holy Spirit could not look upon Jesus as He bore the sins of man. As we noted earlier, failure to observe the Lord's Supper with the proper reverence brings condemnation to an individual. If one takes the supper lightly, how much different are they from those who mock Jesus at the cross? And so, if it is to be taken in all reverence, there must also be a self-examination before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Our lives are to reflect a daily acknowledgement of how much we have been forgiven of and our appreciation for the mercy and grace that has been extended to us because of His sacrifice. Are we walking in the light daily? Are we carrying unrepentant sin in our life? We must reflect and examine ourselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. One thing we also find is that the Lord's Supper is to be shared with other Christians. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Notice that they came together for the supper. The church assembled together largely for this purpose. They waited for each other and shared it together, not separately. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 33, we read, Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Indeed, it was done weekly, as we just read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 also points out that the giving was done on a weekly basis. The secular historians also state that the church assembled on the first day of the week and partook of the supper. Justin Martyr recorded this in about 150 AD, and other early writers support this as well. So as now we begin to bring our thoughts together for today, the Lord's Supper is a very special occasion, and through it, we weekly remember His death for our sins. Our first century brethren continued steadfastly in this and the apostles' teachings, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Christians must never forget or take for granted the blessing that is the Lord's Supper. The supper is a reminder of that sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins. It is a sharing of the body and blood of the Lord. The Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination of our lives before the Lord. It is a building up of the fellowship of the church. And finally, let us remember that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim His death until He comes. I hope this coming Lord's Day that you'll consider these things when you gather to observe the memorial feast. I hope our time together has been edifying to you. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.